Genesis chapter 24 is an incredible chapter, like every chapter of the Bible is. But it's one of the most mysterious chapters in the book of Genesis. Not only is it mysterious, but it is the longest chapter in the book of Genesis. And there's so much deep meaning here. I'm going to fail you tonight because I just don't know how to put it all together, to be honest with you. And it's about, you know, when we look at it just on the surface, it seems 67 verses about a man, Abraham, sending away to find a bride for Isaac. But it's so much deeper than that because Isaac, remember, is a type of Christ. And, you know, over in Genesis 22, you know, we found out that, you know, of course, he was serving the Lord, willing to die for the, you know, Isaac and so forth. And he was willing to die on Mount Moriah. And so Isaac is a type of Christ, if you will. And then Rebekah is a type of the church. And she is the bride of Christ, like we are the bride of Christ. So this is a very wonderful chapter tonight. And I'm afraid that I'm going to be doing a lot more reading and less commentary because of the length of this, because it's hard to expound on something that's so self-explanatory. So with all that being said, let's begin tonight. And I want to talk to you tonight about the servant. That's the title of tonight's message, The Servant. It says, "Now Abraham was old and well advanced in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in how many things? All things." You know, that is my prayer for you and for me, is that when we finish our race, when we get old, and now he's at least 140 years of age, okay? I'm telling you that God has blessed us in all that we do. What a wonderful thing, amen? And for us to just be blessed. So Abraham, even though he's going to live another 35 years, you know, he'll be 175. God says, you know, the Lord had blessed him in all things. So Abraham said to his oldest servant, very important, oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had. Abraham said, "Please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but you shall go to my country, you shall go to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac." So here we have Abraham, we have Isaac, and we have his servant. Now this servant may be Eliezer, which we met over in chapter 15, verses 2 and 3, I believe. And so if it is, he is really old now, and he's there, and this nameless servant, there's no name given to him through the entire text, our 67 verses. Now let me ask y'all a question, or let me ask the young people tonight, how would you like your dad to go get you a wife? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, that's a bit challenging, isn't it? You know, even in our culture today, and you know, say, "I'm just going to find you a wife, and a matter of fact, I think I'll find him from among our relatives." Oh, that would be a Christmas joy, wouldn't it? And bring out the mistletoe, I can't wait. And so, you know, you look at this tonight, and this is one of the most important marriages on earth, right here. Don't take a wife to the servant, the nameless servant. Said, "Don't you dare take a wife among anyone else but my family, not among the unbelievers." He says, you know, the daughters of the Canaanites. Don't do that. You'll not do that. And you know what? Those are the unbelievers. And they're still Canaanites in the land. Amen? And you know, we should be so careful if you're single tonight. Loved one, let me say this as tenderly as I can. You know what? Obey the word of God and you'll never be sorry. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." In other words, that unequal yoke. And "do not" is not a suggestion or an option there in 2 Corinthians. It is a commandment. God says, no, I love you. I want you to be happy. But if you're going to marry, don't marry an unbeliever. Amen? The Bible tells us, it goes on in Corinthians where I was reading it, it says, "For what fellowship," or what do you have in common? "What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness?" And the answer is absolutely nothing. You know, it's so difficult to hook up two different natures. I mean, you know, you yoke yourself up with someone who loves the Lord and someone who doesn't love the Lord. Do you think they're going to go in the same direction? No, they're going to be pulling each other apart. You know, light and darkness, you know, being born again and not being born again. Made alive and someone who's still dead in trespasses and sin. So Abraham, he knew that. He said, there's not anyone here in the land of Canaan. You go back to my family because this bride has to be very special. And it says in verse 5, and the servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. And must I take your son back to the land from which you came? And Abraham said to him, beware, watch that now, beware that you do not take my son back there. What an incredible assignment. I want you to travel over 500 miles back to my family. And you know what? I want you to select a woman that you've never laid eyes on. I want that woman who has never seen my son, I want her to come back with you. Is that a challenge or what? I'm telling you right there. And he says, beware. Don't you take my son back there. Did you know that Isaac never left the promised land? Never once did he leave the promised land. See, the bride must come to him. Amen? And you know what? We are that bride tonight. Aren't you glad that you're part of the body of Christ? As we, you know, celebrate the Christmas season, this Sunday celebrating the birth of our Lord, knowing that we love one another, that we're tender-hearted one to another. You know, is there anything better than being with the family of God? Nothing. Nothing at all. People who are like-minded, people who are of one mind and one heart, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all and in you all. Amen? God is so good tonight. And I look at that and I said, boy, does this guy have a challenge. And it says in verse 7 then that the Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I give this land, he will send his angel, meaning the presence of God, he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. I'm going to tell you something. Is that faith or what? That is faith. And Abraham saying, listen, Abraham, his faith rested on the promise of God, on the word of God. Isn't that what our faith rests upon tonight? You know, sometimes, you know, we can look at the scriptures and we know they're true and we just may just say, okay, Lord, whatever. But you know, the fact of the matter is that whatever God says, that's what we rest our faith upon. Knowing that God is going to bring it to pass. And so Abraham said, God said I was going to have descendants. And he said, I believe that, and Isaac needs a wife. And it says, and if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you'll be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. That's twice now he said that. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. And then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand, meaning the servant. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia to the city of Nahor. That's there at Haran, okay? We're there in the Ur of the Chaldees, where Abraham came from. Now listen, I want you to look at something for a minute. Did Abraham go to find a bride for Isaac? No, the father didn't go. Did the son go to find a bride, Isaac? No. Who went? A nameless servant. Now listen, you know, this nameless servant is a picture, if you will, of the Holy Spirit of God, who's here with us tonight, who's always moving, who's always wanting to help save and so forth. And, you know, if this servant is Eleazar, you know, his name in Hebrew means God is my help. And it's perfect for the Holy Spirit, who is our helper. Amen? So the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to find the bride of Christ, or rather, the bride for Isaac. But that's us too, isn't it? I mean, we're here because of the Holy Spirit. Is that right? Absolutely. You know, the Bible says in the Amplified Version in John 14:16, Jesus said, and I will ask the Father, he will give you another comforter, another counselor, another helper, that he may remain with you forever. I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit, listen, he sealed us and he's going to keep us till the very day. Amen? That is good news tonight. You know, when the Holy Spirit sealed us, Ephesians 1:13 and 14, that earnest down payment. Listen, to be sealed means that God owns you. Amen? He owns us. He says, no, I'm going to keep you. That means we're going to make it, loved one. And so it says in verse 11, and he made his camels kneel down. How cool is that? Outside the city by a well of water at evening time. The time when women go out to draw water. And then he said it, or literally he prayed. Now listen to this prayer. O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink. And she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one you have appointed. Let her be the one you have appointed, not the one he wants. Amen? Now listen, had it been one of us, you know, we'd have been checking out everybody there. You know what I mean? It'd been like a Miss America or Miss Jerusalem contest or something. You understand? No. He prays that, listen, let it be the one God that you want for my master. Amen? So he says, for your servant Isaac, let it be the one that for him. And by this I will know that you, meaning God, have shown kindness to my master. Now watch this in verse 15. I'd give anything if my prayers were answered this quickly. And it happened before he finished speaking, hello, before he finished, that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with a pitcher on her shoulder, just like he was praying and asking for her. Isn't that amazing? Came out with a pitcher on her shoulder. And now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin, and no man had known her. You know what? That's a picture of us tonight. Did you know that? We are the bride of Christ, blameless, holy, pure. Amen? Oh, one day at the marriage supper of the Lamb, we're going to be there. We're going to sit down with our Lord and our Savior there in Revelation 19. It's actually really going to happen. Oh, what a glorious day that is going to be. And so he says, oh, the young woman, so beautiful, a virgin, and no man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, came up, and the servant ran to meet her and said, oh, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher. So she said, well, drink, my Lord. And then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also. What kind of woman is this, huh? Man, I will draw water for your camels also until they finish drinking. And then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran back to the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. That's all 10 of his camels. Amen? Now listen, do you know how, you know, what do they call camels? The ships of the desert or something like that? How many gallons of water do you think a camel drinks? More than a gallon. How about 50 to 100 gallons, huh? You know, can you imagine what she was going through? I mean, what a woman, and then what a wife she's going to be. I mean, she doesn't need to work out at LA Fitness or any of those things. I mean, this woman is in shape, amen? I don't think that was from the Lord. But when you feel the way I feel, it doesn't really matter. You're just trying to get through a service. Does that make sense? So you can go home and go right to bed. Now let's look at that for a minute. You know, we read things like this in the Bible, but you know something? You know, isn't it amazing when we just stop and think about this? Look at that beautiful little girl. You know, she's just a young woman. We know she loves the Lord. And you know, she's out there, she's so humble. Isn't it amazing how just a simple act of humility, like she's doing, she has no idea the doors that are getting ready to open for her. Do you understand me? And that prayer that was prayed, everything he prayed was instantly answered immediately. And she had no idea that she was going to be offered in a few minutes to go home or go back there to the promised land and to marry a wealthy man. She had no idea that after she married him, she was going to bear two children, Jacob and Esau, and Jacob would become the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, which would lead to the Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by a simple act of humility. What if she would just said, I'm not drawing your water. You know, I mean, you get 10 camels, you out of your mind? You know, get your servants there. You guys are loaded down. I mean, you know, you do it yourself. No, she didn't do that. And look at verse 21. And the man, wondering at her, that's the servant. Look at, he's going, okay. He remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So it was when the camels had finished drinking that the man took a golden nose ring, weighing a half shekel, that's about a fifth of an ounce of gold, okay? Weighing about a half shekel, and two bracelets for her wrist, weighing 10 shekels of gold. So that's about 4 ounces. And today, if it was gold, is about what, $1,800, $2,000 an ounce or whatever? I don't even know. Well, if it's, say, if it's 2,000, that's $8,000. An $8,000 man. And what did he say? He said, Merry Christmas. No. He said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? And so she said to him, well, I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor. Now, remember, that's Abraham's brother. Moreover, she said to him, oh, you know what? We have both straw and feed enough and a place to stay there. And the man bowed down his head. Watch this. And he worshiped the Lord. Now, he didn't bow his head down and worship the Lord. In the Hebrew, what he did, he fell on his face. You know what I'm saying? Publicly, right there with all the people that came to the well, everybody that was there, and he started worshiping the Lord, and he said, oh, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. But as for me, being on the way, look what he says, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Isn't God good? The providence of God. You know what? The Lord led me. You know, the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered, are established by the Lord. The steps, the starting point and the ending point. I'll tell you, if we started every day just saying, you know what, Lord? When I step out of this door today, I believe with all my heart that you're going to guide my steps. You're going to lead me. You're going to tell me when to stop and when to go. In everything that I do, Lord, I'm going to be listening to you. How wonderful it is for us, you know, to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Every day of our lives, listening to him. And so the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. And now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. And Laban ran out to the man by the well. And so it was when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrist. And when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah saying, thus the man spoke to me. And he went to the man and there he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels. Now, let me ask you a question. What really impressed Laban? Oh, he was a goldsmith, wasn't he? Man, he knew what that impressed him. Matter of fact, we're going to learn a lot about Laban as we go on. Matter of fact, Jacob, remember Jacob, who is the son of Isaac, there and Rebekah, he's going to really have some hard dealings later on with Laban, his uncle, isn't he? And so Laban, he liked that money or the gold. And it says, and then the man came to the house and he unloaded the camels and provided straw and feed for the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. And food was set before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat. This is important. I will not eat until I have told about my errand. And he said, speak on. And so he said, I am Abraham's servant. Isn't it funny again? You know, the servant's name, it's not given at all. But it's just like the Holy Spirit. You know, he said, in other words, the Holy Spirit said, when he comes, he will not speak of himself, but he will speak of another. He will testify of me, Jesus said, amen. And that's exactly what's happening right here, because he is a picture, if you will, this servant of the Holy Spirit. And then it says, and so he starts telling his story, and he says, the Lord has blessed my master greatly. He's become great. He's given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and male and female servants and camels and donkeys. So the servant, the Holy Spirit, if you will, what is he telling them about? The Father's house. You know what? Our Father owns everything tonight, doesn't he? I mean, the cattle on 1,000 hills, the Lord said, the silver and the gold, they all belong to me. And so with all that being said, it says in verse 36, and allow me to read this lengthy reading now. He says, and Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him he has given all that he has. I'm sure Laban had a big grin on his face right then, don't you? But you know what? Hasn't our Father in heaven given unto his Son everything? And isn't his Son, Jesus, our Lord, going to share everything that God has given him, he's going to share with us? That we are co-heirs together with Christ? Can you believe that tonight? See, this is talking about God's love for us as well. And so it says, now my master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife from my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But you shall go to my father's house and to my family, and take a wife for my son. And I said to my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. But he said to me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you, prosper your way, and you'll take a wife from my son and from my family, from my father's house. You will be clear from this oath when you arrive among my family, for if they will not give her to you, then you shall be released from my oath. And this day I came in the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will now prosper the way in which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes out to draw water, that I say to her, please give me a little water from your pitcher to drink. And she says to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels also. And let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my sister. You know, isn't it amazing that the Lord repeats everything that has already been said? There's a reason for that. God wants us to see this. Everything that was written, the Bible says in the New Testament about the Old Testament, was written for an example for us, that we would learn from it. He says, but before I had finished speaking, in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder. She went down to the well. She drew the water, and I said to her, please let me drink. And she made haste and let their pitcher down from her shoulder and said, drink, you and your camels, you just drink also. And I drank, and she gave the camels a drink. And then I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. And so I put the nose ring on her nose, a bracelets on her wrist, and I bowed my head, and I worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord my God of my master Abraham, who led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. And now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. And then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, this thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either good nor bad. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son as the Lord has spoken. You think that'd be kind of tough? My goodness, I mean, she hasn't spoken a word yet. And it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard their words, look what he did again, that he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. That again means he fell on his face and started worshiping the Lord publicly right there in their midst. And then the servant, look what he did, just like the Holy Spirit does for us today. He brings out all these gifts. Watch this. It says, then the servant brought out jewelry, silver, gold, and clothing, gave them to Rebekah. And he also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. And he and the men who were with him ate, and they drank, and they stayed all night. And then they rose in the morning, and he said, send me away to my master. But her brother and her mother said, oh, let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. And after that, she may go. So no doubt they want to say, we want to call all of our relatives and say goodbye to her. I don't really know. And he said to them, do not hinder me. Since the Lord has prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. So they said, we will call the young woman and ask her personally. And then they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? And one of the most greatest words ever spoken, she said to him, I will go. Isn't that the work of the Holy Spirit of God? I mean, the same thing to us, loved one. You know what? The servant, the Holy Spirit, he's gone to fetch a bride. He's gone to get a bride for Isaac. But that's what the Holy Spirit, see, has done for us in our generation. Look who we are. That's how we were won to the Lord, was by the Holy Spirit, opening up the word that we heard or the person who ministered to us, opening up our heart where the word of God became alive, became real. And we received Jesus Christ into our heart. She said, I will go. Each of us in our life, we had to make that decision. We had to make the same decision that she made. Now listen, did you know that the Holy Spirit will not force you to serve God? Do you know that the Holy Spirit will not force you to be saved? No, it doesn't work that way. You know, no, Rebekah, think about it now. She said, I will go to an unseen Isaac. Isn't that unbelievable? Said, I will go. And she's going to go marry a person that has a supernatural birth. Remember? The son of promise, Isaac, a supernatural birth. Not only that, one that was as dead, remember, willing sacrifice, and as one raised from the dead off the altar. It's amazing, the typology here, isn't it? And so it says that Rebekah gave her heart to an unseen Isaac. You know what it says in 1 Peter 1:8? Listen, it says this about us. It says, whom having not seen. Have you seen Jesus? I haven't. It says, but you haven't seen him, yet you love him. Now, though you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You love him, but you've never seen him. How is that? Did you see his birth? Did you witness the birth of Jesus? Did you watch him grow up? Did you see him go to the cross for our sins? Did you see him buried? Did you see him raised the third day? Did you see him ascend to the right hand of the Father when he had purged our sins? No. Then why is it that we love someone we've never seen? You know why? Because when you're born from above, when you ask Christ to come in your heart, you know what happens? Romans 5:5, it says, the love of God, his love for you, the love of God has been shed abroad, poured out, filled up in your hearts. How? By the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. You know why you love God? It's because he filled you up with his love. Amen? You know that that love is real. Is there anything greater than experiencing God's love, knowing that he loves you? We've all failed. We've all failed, each and every one of us. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Yet when we come to Jesus, the one who kept the law for us, the one who died on the cross in our place, when we receive him, God says, you know what? I'll fill you full of my love, and I want you to know that I love you. You feel the love of God. You know that it's real. That's why it says, having not seen him, you love. Think of the battle that was in Rebekah's mind. I mean, she was not some super saint, like, you know, none of us are super saints, okay? There's only one super saint, and that's our super, and that's our Lord and Savior, amen? But think of the battle. I mean, there she is, and she's going, okay, I'm never going to see my family again. I'm getting ready to walk out. I'm never going to be with my family again. And she could have said to herself, what if all this is a lie? What if this servant, what if he's not even telling the truth? I mean, we're going to go over 500 miles through the desert. You know what I mean? What moved Rebekah to make that kind of decision? What moved her? I'll tell you what it was. She believed what the servant was saying about Isaac. What moved you? You believed what the Holy Spirit was, when a person was preaching and he made the words alive, what they said about Jesus. Amen? And you know what she did? She simply believed by faith. See, God had chosen, no doubt, Rebecca for Isaac. But the fact of the matter is Rebecca still had to choose. Do you see how God's sovereignty and then human responsibility are intertwined there? God doesn't force anyone. That's why Jesus said, come unto me. All of you, just come unto me. And she says, I will go. In other words, no delay. I'm going to leave right now. Not that 10 days. That's what the devil wants. You know that? The devil says, you know, get right with God tomorrow. No, you get right with God today. You, boy, get right. Ask Christ in your heart today. Amen. And so it says, and so they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, oh, our sister, may you become the mother of thousands, of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. Let me ask you a question. Has this prophecy been fulfilled? It says there, the mother of thousands and tens of thousands. Did Rebecca become the mother of thousands and tens of thousands? Yes. This prophecy's been fulfilled right or now, today even. It says, and then Rebecca and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. And so the servant, the Holy Spirit, if you will, the servant took Rebecca and departed. You know, like I said earlier, when we come to Christ, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And now we're under the care of the Holy Spirit. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He is with us, Jesus said, forever. And you know what? As he's taking care of us, he's going to lead us where? He's going to take us home. Just like Rebecca, he says, now you're going to your new home. And that's what he does for us. He's going to lead us and take us to our new home. And Rebecca, she's getting ready to go through the wilderness just like we're going through the wilderness. The wilderness meaning the world that we live in. This is a wilderness, isn't it? If you don't believe me, just walk through one mall. It is a bad place. You better be ready. You know? Now, Rebecca, listen, was journeying through the world, but she was on her way to meet whom? She was on the way to meet her bridegroom. Just like we're on our way to meet our Savior. The trump may sound tonight. He may call us home tonight. In other words, the church may leave tonight, and we're going to be with the Lord then forever and ever and ever. Now look at verse 62. And now Isaac, there he finally in the picture now. Remember, we hadn't heard from him until a long time. We hadn't seen him in a long time. It says, now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south. In other words, he dwelt down there by Hebron. Now, remember that Isaac is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have Isaac's miraculous birth there in chapter 21. You have in chapter 22, he's willing to lay down his life, remember, at Mount Moriah. And then remember at the end of chapter 22, there after Abraham was going to sacrifice his son, you know, Isaac is not mentioned again from chapter 22 all the way to here. Now, what is that a picture of? I believe it's a picture of the ascension of our Lord, that he's gone to be at the Father's side until the time he comes for his bride. Now, it says, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. I love that. I don't know. I've always loved that verse. He's going out to pray. He was a man. He liked to pray outside. I can relate to that. And look what happened. And Isaac, what did he do? He lifted his eyes and looked. And there the camels were coming. Look at verse 64. And then Rebecca lifted her eyes. Don't you like that? He lifted his eyes. She lifted her eyes. This is a motion picture, folks. You know? And when she saw Isaac, oh, look what she did. She dismounted from her camel. What a love story. For she said, to the servant, who is this man? Who is it? Walking in the field to meet us. And the servant said, it is my master. So she took a veil and covered herself. Now listen, Rebecca, just like us, we're on a journey to meet Jesus. Amen? We're on a journey right now. And you know what? She probably, maybe, I don't know, it's not written, but don't you think that she asked questions about Isaac? asked the servant all about him. He said, tell me about him. What color is his eyes? What color is, how does he comb his hair? You know what I mean? He said, what kind of man is he? And so that's why I said, who is this person? Well, you know what? We've heard all about the Lord. We've read the word over and over. Hundreds and thousands of sermons we've all heard. We've heard about our Lord. We've heard about our Savior. But one day, we're going to see him. Amen? Just like Rebecca. She's finally there and she looked and there he is. She gets off that camel and so forth. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 3, beloved, now we are children of God and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Now listen carefully. But we know that when he is revealed, when Jesus is revealed, we shall be like him, not equal to him, but like him. For we shall see him as he is. That's going to be a great day, isn't it? When we see him just like he is. And it says, and then the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. And he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that Isaac knew that the servant had gone to Haran to get him a bride? Mm-hmm. So what was he doing? What was he doing until she got there? Huh? Waiting, that's a true word. But what was, he had to be doing something. There you go. He had to be preparing her a what? A home. What is our Savior doing right now? He's preparing a place for us. Let me read it to you from John 14, 1. Jesus said, let your heart be not troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He's preparing a place for us right now. And it's got to be special because it's been 2,000 years. Amen. Oh, what a Christmas present that's going to be. And he goes on to say, Jesus said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen.